the evening or near evening hours for your commute, or just as you're getting home, we have our locally produced news. Up next, Air Cascadia.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, August 27, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, and no retreat and no surrender, your resistance radio, your whistleblower and radio, and, of course, your fake news radio leaking at 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM, everywhere. Afghanistan, of course. Afghanistan is really unlike any other country in the world. It is the linchpin along the silk, the ancient Silk Route, and it was central to what was known as the Great Game. This involved Russia, France, Britain, and other nations attempting, as always, to gain control over what was what the concept of Afghanistan. I was in Afghanistan quite a while back, and quite a few people in Afghanistan had no notion of Afghanistan. It was news to them. And when they got this piece of news that they were citizens of a country called Afghanistan, they thought that was absolutely, they thought that was a real knee slapper. That was the funniest thing they'd ever heard. And these huge, tall, rough Baluchistan tribesmen, who drove enormous flocks of these fat-tailed sheep along routes that had been worn deep into the psyche of people from all across the world. It was absolutely the most fascinating place. Nuristan, land of light, far up in the north northeast corner, was still people speak of a chap name of Sikander, who had visited and fathered a lot of children there, who had light hair and light and blue eyes. Huh. Fancy that. Sikander actually is Alexander the Great, and he's still remembered, or at least the stories are, oh yes, my great Sikander passed through town. Wow. And stories were told about this Sikander fellow in Nuristan. And so just to give you a sense of how interesting, a country where until very recent times knew more about history than it did about geopolitics. No notion of borders, but plenty of notion about history. That is an interesting concept to me and to many others. And it would be, indeed, a glory day wonder if this excuse for a president were remotely informed about the country he's talking about. Really, in my opinion and my derived from my experience, Afghanistan's not so much country as a story told from many points of view over the course of many, many years. With that said, we have got David Naiman of Just Born Policy waiting on the line briefly. Just let's romp through the weather for today. Nothing nearly as dramatic as yesterday, but then how do you really complete with a total eclipse? Today we've got sunny skies and a high around 86, calm winds tonight, increasing clouds building up, lows around 62, and tomorrow Wednesday mostly cloudy, gradually clearing, and high around 81 eventually. Tomorrow night, slight chance of showers very late, and lows around 60. That's it for the weather. And obviously today's theme is how do you describe, how do you work with, in fact, how do you even go to war with a country that only recently had become aware, people became aware of borders, but instead, in place of borders, this extraordinarily deep sense of its own history, and it's if not its place, maybe not its place in the world so much as its place in time. And I want to welcome now Robert Naiman, who's very Just Born Policy, very kindly agreed to join us this morning to talk about Trump and Trump's now he's the war president, of course, and Trump's speech on Afghanistan and his idea of nation building or whatever it was that he was talking about. So, Robert, good morning, and thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
So, what was Trump trying to say? What was he saying? Is he since everything returns to Trump himself?
Well, I think the best epitaph for Trump's speech was arguably provided by Ben Rhodes, Obama's national security advisor, mm-hmm. who said, "This is just the Obama strategy combined with criticism of Obama." And I think the key takeaway for Americans who are not happy about endless war in Afghanistan is that there are really only two choices: the status quo, which is endless war and Americans being killed with no fundamental change in the situation, or serious U.S. diplomatic effort to end the war through politics and diplomacy, which has never been tried in 16 years. Obama's top official on this, Laurel Miller, saying this publicly. These two key facts: this war is unwinnable. No analyst thinks that this war is winnable. The only way out is through a diplomatic and political solution, which has never been tried. And the very unfortunate key Washington dynamic is that political leaders don't want to take responsibility for stating the obvious fact that the only way out of this is a political deal that includes all the major Afghan factions and all the neighboring countries that are backing different major factions in the war. That means Pakistan, India, Iran, and Russia have to be at the table. Politicians don't want to say that because, you know, oh, you're a surrender monkey. But the only alternative to that is endless war. Those are the two options on the menu at the restaurant. So politicians need to hear from their constituents that this war needs to end. As Justin Amash said, ending America's long, there's nothing hasty about ending America's longest war. The only way this ends is through politics and diplomacy.
Who out of the negotiators who would be at the table, Pakistan, Russia, and so forth, Are these considered, how can they be considered? I suppose they would have to be considered honest brokers in these current circumstances. But what about trust? First, does that have to be negotiated in order for diplomacy to move forward?
No.
Sorry. That was not a good question, was it?
Countries make agreements when they want to. When the United States and North Korea want to make an agreement on North Korea's nuclear program, they will. When the United States and Iran wanted to make an agreement on Iran's nuclear program, they did. There's no great mystery here. It's the question of having the political will to seek a diplomatic solution, which means that all of the actors who are potential spoilers have to be included in the deal, which means that no one actor is going to get everything that they want. So political leaders have to take responsibility for saying, you know what, we can't have everything we want if we want to end this. We have to give everybody something of what they want. Everybody has to give up something. Everybody has to get up something. That's the basic fact of all these agreements. The U.S. didn't get everything it wanted in the Iran nuclear deal. Neither did Iran. That's the fundamental thing that needs to change. Of course, the agreement's not going to come tomorrow, even if there's political will. It needs a sustained diplomatic process. But the main thing that needs to change is that, from our point of view as Americans, is that political leaders in Washington need to bite the bullet and say, you know what, if we don't want to keep doing this forever, we need a changed diplomatic and political posture towards a sustained push for a political agreement that ends the war.
So does, at this point, does America have a credible individual or team that might sit down at the table with others and see what they could pound out? So, as far as I know, Trump has not appointed anyone, a representative.
No, but he could do that tomorrow.
He could.
when the U.S. decided to get a deal with, go for a deal with Iran on its nuclear program, we used the same diplomats that we were using before. We just gave them different instructions. We have diplomats. We're not lacking a shortage of diplomats. What we're lacking is a political decision in Washington to use our diplomats to put the diplomats that we have in charge of getting a political agreement. Instead of having the generals in charge, you ask the generals, what do we need to do? The generals will always say, give us more troops. So the problem is not that we don't have the personnel that we need. It's that we're putting the wrong personnel in charge of our policy. We're putting the generals in charge instead of putting diplomats in charge.
So that said, okay, Trump... post speech now, America stumbles forward with Afghanistan. No oil and no nukes. So there's no. There is urgency nonetheless. What do you figure about? I mean, this is, of course, it's a trade route. Afghanistan is, things move through it, and they have to keep moving through it, or the world financial activity would slow or even halt eventually. So what do you figure when they do sit down to negotiate, what position will the U.S. be negotiating from? It's hard to see America negotiating unless it's sort of a what's in it for me sort of an attitude. This is just in our very last minute. How do you see America playing its hand at this table?
Well, at the end of the day, the U.S. has to be willing to completely withdraw its military forces from Afghanistan. That's the thing that the U.S. has to provide in an agreement to seal the deal. The Pentagon might not like that, but that's what's in the interest of the majority of Americans. That's what's essential to get a political agreement that ends the war. As long as U.S. troops are in Afghanistan, this war will never end.
And on that note, I want to thank you so much for being with us today, clarifying. It seemed to me, my takeaway from it was that somebody said, okay, you're really blowing it. It's time to nut up and act presidential. Here, read this, is what it sounded like to me. Whether there's any action, I don't know. What do you
think? And that's a terrible dynamic that we should all be horrified.
I see
these liberal journalists. All Trump has to do is make a speech for more war. And there's apparently an army of liberal journalists that will fawn over him and say that he's presidential. This is clearly creating an incentive for Trump to do more war things. If all that he has to get a pass is to more war and give a more war speech.
I was proper alarmed, I have to say, and I have a very deep love of Afghanistan and the Afghani people, various tribes, some more than others. But thank you so much again. Could just let listeners know Foreign Policy. Where can they go to?
JustForeignPolicy.org is our website.
Simple enough. Go there, you'll find out a lot more. And there's petitions there you can sign. And it's a serious source for